Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
My message this morning is titled, Lord, Open My Eyes. Open My Eyes. Psalm 119 and verse 18. The psalmist said a prayer. And I'll be in the New Testament very shortly. But I want us to see this prayer of the psalmist. A man who thirsted after God. He said in Psalm 18, open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes, Lord, so that I can see and consider. That's the meaning of behold. I may look and consider wondrous things, beautiful things out of your law. Because you see, the word of God is full of treasures. The word of God contains your future. Everything that God has for you, his plan for you, according to Jeremiah 29 verse 11, is contained in his word. But it is possible to be reading the letters of the word and not benefiting from the treasures of the word. It is possible to even memorize the letters. And you can reel off Genesis to Revelation, but do you know the story behind the story? Are you just celebrating the stories on the surface? Or are you digging deep to benefit from the treasures contained therein? And that's why the psalmist cried out, Lord, if you don't open my eyes, I will just be beholding the stories. Somebody begat somebody and begat somebody and died and begat, and that's all you know. Or even the stories of the miracles or the parables, but you don't know the meaning behind the parables. And look, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Unless he opens and illuminates the word to our hearts, we will only be celebrating the stories. The stories will not change your life. It is the stories behind the story that brings illumination, and that is what will bring transformation to your life. What I mean by the story behind the story is the revelation. If the word of God is not revealed to you, you will just know head knowledge. You will have head knowledge of the Bible, but you won't know how that the word can actually change your life. And we all need some change. Can I have an amen to that? Don't we need some transformation, some healing here and there, some miracles here and there, some blessing here and there, and for us to even live like Christ? All of that comes from the word. So the psalmist cried, open thou my eyes so that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm preaching this message this morning as an offshoot of what I finished last Sunday. You would remember that last Sunday when I began to tell us how to keep hope alive by the help of the Holy Spirit, the first point I gave us was to pray Holy Spirit-inspired prayers. Do you remember that point? Now, we are New Testament believers. We can't be praying like Old Testament people. We can't be praying, Lord, please come and do something that the New Testament tells us that he has already done. There is a difference between come and do. And Father, I thank you for what you have already done. And I'm aligned with your will and I'm able to work out what you have already done. My name is Fred Elegbe. It is not going to feature in my prayer point. Lord, come and make my name Fred. Come and make my name Fred. No, my prayer is going to be, Lord, I thank you because I'm Fred. Now, whatever Fred needs to do, Holy Spirit now begin to lead him so that he can get it accomplished. But I thank you because you've made me Fred already. Can I have an amen to that? There's a different way that New Testament prayers are supposed to be. And I want to encourage you, this next scripture I'm going to read, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. Make it a daily prayer. I've been praying it. I used to pray it every day. I stopped for a very long time until the Holy Ghost began to quicken it again in my spirit, man, to say, hey, look, this is where it is. This is where the treasure, everything you need is in this prayer. I am promising you this morning, everything you need as a New Testament believer is in this prayer that we're about to pray. And I want you to pray it every day. That Hagin, Papa Kenneth Hagin, who has gone to be with the Lord, he prayed this prayer, I think it was for a period between 3 to 6 months, every day. And something happened to him. He began to have the visions of the Lord. He began to have revelations of the Word of God. In fact, that was where he began to have the revelation on faith, that he began to teach the body of Christ all over the world before he went to heaven. Until today, we are still making reference to his materials on faith. The Lord commissioned him to teach the body of Christ faith. But how did that revelation start? We are going to how it started. Paul prayed this prayer. Paul was a man, Paul the beloved, Paul the apostle, Paul the aged. He was a man given to much revelation. He had so much revelation of the Lord Jesus. And if he's telling us this is how it comes, I think we should listen to someone like that. Because he's been there. Would that be correct? Will it be nice to fly with a pilot who has never flown before? And you are flying 6 hours, Nigeria to London. Would that be nice? He says, well, I'm a first-time flyer. I'm a first-time pilot. I just want us to learn together. Would that be good? Thank you, everyone, for boarding this plane. Now, you can't go anywhere. If I make a mistake, try and put me right. Did you go to aviation school yourself? Come on, talk to me, church. How about you here? This man has been flying for 25 years. He's got so many awards and medals to his name. He has launched several hours, you know, in the air, blah, 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 etc. Won't you feel very comfortable? You cross your legs and ask for some juice. You say, we're in the hands of an experienced pilot. That is what experience also does in the things of God. Paul had been there. And so let's go quickly to this all-important prayer. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, I have serious business to do this morning. Some teaching and preaching mixed together. Ephesians 1 from verse 17. And I want you to pray this every morning that you wake up. In fact, you can take it a step further. You can make it in the morning and in the night. And some of you can even take it a step further again. You can take it once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and once in the evening before you go to bed. And when you take this prayer, pray also in the Holy Ghost. After you have said this in the understanding, pray in the Holy Ghost. I can guarantee you, you will begin to understand and begin to dig into the treasures of the Word of God. You will begin to read some scriptures and they will be coming alive. The same scriptures you've read for many years, you didn't understand what it meant, you just left it alone. The Holy Ghost will come and teach you. That's how powerful this prayer is. This is a New Testament prayer. And I can tell you that many of the issues we have today is because our eyes of understanding are not enlightened. I can tell you that. I will get there. Verse 17. Let's read together, everybody. Please, let's make it out loud. 1, 2, go. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Make it louder. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. That scripture looks very simple, but I guarantee you, it is loaded. I will run through it again, very briefly. I do hope this is not going to be the only time I'm going to teach this. I really want to teach it again. This is actually something we should be doing at Bible study. And we're doing something already. We'll build up on it. Paul said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, number one, the spirit of wisdom. Life is difficult without wisdom. When somebody lacks wisdom, that person is going to have a very hard life. Wisdom is the correct application, the accurate application of knowledge. If you have knowledge, but you don't know how to apply it, it is equal to frustration. Some people have knowledge. They have read books. They have listened to tapes. They have done all sorts. But when it comes to real life, they don't know how to apply it. That's why somebody can be a first-class graduate, but it will be a very terrible husband. It will be a very terrible boss at work. It will be a very terrible colleague, a very terrible friend. He doesn't know how to apply what he has got upstairs. So it is not good enough just to have knowledge. It is powerful to have knowledge. Knowledge is power. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Proverbs 19 verse 2 says, for the soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. So knowledge is important. But much more important, the Bible makes it clear to us that wisdom is the principal thing, not knowledge. Wisdom. Wisdom. In order to live this life successfully, you need wisdom. Oh, some of your friends that are smiling at you, playing with you, I'm your bestie, I got your back, don't worry, baby, go ahead, go and face him, confront him, I'm behind you. Many, many times, they are not there. You need the wisdom of God to know how to relate to people. You need the wisdom of God when there is problem. There are problems in life. We all encounter problems. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how close you are to God. In this life, Jesus said, you shall have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Now, when you are going through your tribulation, you need wisdom to come out. It is through wisdom that a man comes out of trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus had a situation himself. In John chapter 6 and in verse 6, there were many people that came to his meeting. I guess more than they budgeted for. There were 4,000 men. That's apart from the women and the children. Now, that was a big issue because they were in the wilderness. No bakery, no supermarket, no eatery. Jesus called Philip and said, Philip, where are we going to get bread for all these people? And Philip looked in the natural. Look, sir, we are in the wilderness. Where are we going to get bread from? In fact, if we buy 200 penny worth of bread, which is like a year's salary, he said, it is not going to be enough that each of them will take a little bite. But in verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus asked him that question in order to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already knew what he would do, how he would feed the people. But he sampled Philip out. You've been with me at my crusades. You've been with me at my faith meetings. You've seen me feed the multitude. But it's amazing, I mean, that Philip didn't say, Master, you've done it before, you know how to do it again. Philip did not look to Jesus. Philip looked to his pocket. He looked to the salary. He looked at the crowd. He looked at the enormity of the challenge. How can we solve this problem? It's not enough. We don't have anything. Let them go back home. But Jesus knew what he would do. I pray for you. In every challenge of your life, may you know what to do. Because it is, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Sometimes we've taken some wise decisions and people will look at us and say we are wise. But we know that in ourselves we are not wise. We only receive wisdom from God, and it is his wisdom that makes us wise. And the Bible says very clearly in James chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, if any man lacks wisdom, he said, let him do something very simple. Let him ask. Ask God for wisdom. So the Bible makes provision for you to ask. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know you know what to do. That's why we pray in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes when you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you are done praying, keep quiet so that you can hear wisdom from your inside. It's not going to fall from heaven. He's already here on your inside. Let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he will give it to him. Let me tell you something. Those of you that are working already, maybe you are working in a corporate environment, and something happens, and someone reports you to your boss. Maybe your direct manager reports you to your whatever, the overall boss, and you know this is a problem. Truly, you made a mistake. But it was a mistake. It wasn't intentional. You know, sometimes the people are rented by Satan just to affect you, just to disturb your peace, just so that, forget about your faith, go and do the things of the world. Now, when you are in such a complicated situation, don't try to reason out your way out of the problem. I can think, I'm a thinker. It's good to think. The first step is to seek the face of the Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do right now, but you know what to do right now. And I'm grateful that you know what to do. And Lord, I thank you because as I pray in the Holy Ghost, you are going to download into my spirit what to do. Thank you, Lord. You know what? The Bible says in Psalm 36 and verse 9, it says, for with you is the fountain of life. What does the B part of it say? It says, in your light. What do we see? Come on, talk to me, church. In his light, what do you see? Stop trying to come up with your own solutions. See light in his light. The same thing goes for students. Students, you're writing your project, and then you hit the rock. You hit the rock. It looks like there's no progress anymore. Or you're in an exam hall, and then, boom, all of a sudden, you read this thing, but you can't remember. And you need it right now. Stop toiling in the flesh. Toiling in the flesh will give you stress-induced pimples all over your face. Toiling in the flesh will increase your stress level. Stop stressing. Go to that scripture. Psalm 36 and verse 9. Lord, with you is the fountain of life, and in your light I see light. Thank you. Then thank him. Thank him for it. Thank him because we are New Testament believers. Thank him because in his light you see light. Can I have an amen to that? The answers to many of our challenges and situations is not in how loud our prayer is. It's not in how far we can sweat. It's in knowing who we are in Christ, knowing what Christ has accomplished, and being able to tap into that. It's already provided. It's already available. Can I have an amen? So Paul said that he will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, after he spoke about wisdom, he said revelation in the knowledge of him. Revelation is very important. Revelation makes you fly. The story on the pages of the Bible don't help you much. Revelation is what helps you. The day something is revealed to you, that day your life stops to be the same. You might not know that you are not supposed to be falling sick. It's not your fault. Nobody has ever told you before. So you think it's your ancestral right to be falling sick because your grandpa fell sick. Your dad fell sick. You are falling sick of the same sickness. And so you say, it's our family sickness. Because there's no family that doesn't have its own. You have forgotten that according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he has changed families. Can I have an amen to that? Behold, now he said, all things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Now it's a new you. It's a new family. Can I have an amen? Have you ever seen a newborn baby with the past? This newborn baby, I will slap your face now. That was how you didn't greet me last week. The baby was just born 2 hours ago. Are you with me, church? That's who you are in Christ, new. You don't have a past. So if a particular sickness has been destroying lives in your family, when you go to the hospital, doctors will ask you one of the questions. Has anybody got this history in your family? They call it medical history. Has anybody been hypertensive in your family? Has anybody got whatever blood condition in your family? They ask because they want to see, you know, because bad history has a way of repeating itself. Until somebody wakes up to say, no, not anymore. A new sheriff is in town. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, I don't care how many generations have suffered this sickness, you've come to the wrong generation. Because these are the generation of those that seek the Lord, that seek his face. We know God, and the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. According to Daniel 11:32. Are you with me, church? So you begin to enforce the new creation provisions of Christ into your lineage. It comes by revelation. When it dawns on you that you should never be sick because God has provided sound health for every day, then you can make declarations like, In the mighty name of Jesus, I will never be sick one more day of my life. Of course, when some people hear you say that, they will criticize you. Who doesn't fall sick? Everybody falls sick. Even the Pope, even the bishops. I'm not the Pope. I'm not a bishop. My name is PFE. Glory be to God. I'm a child of the Most High God. And I've discovered from the Bible that by his stripes I was healed. According to 1 Peter 2:24. And if I was healed, I'm healed every day. Glory be to God. And I have sound health every day. Can I have an amen? And the Bible said the inhabitants of the city shall not say, I am sick. By revelation. We all need to have revelation. Some people try to fly on the wings of other people's revelation. Let the Holy Spirit reveal the word to you. Some of you as students can catch a revelation why you should never fail a course again in your life. And it's all in the Bible. I got my, like I've shared with you guys before, my first visa to the U.S. by revelation. You wouldn't see any page in the Bible where they wrote visa. And I got it from 1 Samuel 2, 7 and 8. I just saw it. It was hiding there. And the hand of the Lord brought it out. Everything I'm trusting God for in my life, when I need something, I go to the Word of God. What? You will never find Sony plasma TV or LCD or LED in the Bible. If you're a photographer, you need a brand new Canon camera. You wouldn't see Canon in the Bible. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you will find the scripture, and the Holy Ghost will illuminate that scripture, and you say, my goodness, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been waiting for. A man of God, all he heard was the Holy Spirit opened his eyes to see that the birds of the air will carry your voice. That was what he saw. And he said, that's my private jet. That's my private jet. He's flying today. Revelation. Revelation. You can get your wife, you can get your husband from the Word of God. Revelation. And Paul said that we will have revelation. He said you should pray this, that you have revelation in the knowledge of Christ. The more you know Christ, the better your life becomes. Then he went on to verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know what happened to Adam when he fell? His eyes of understanding became darkened. Darkened. Adam was operating like God before the fall. Adam was the first man that God made. He made him in his image, after his likeness. Adam looked like God. In the same image, after his likeness. Even though he made him from the earth, by the time he stood as a man that God put in charge of the entire creation, the angels were talking in Psalm 8 and verse 4. What is man? What is man that you are so mindful of him? You can put that on the screen. And the Son of Man, that you've so much crowned him with glory. Psalm 8 and verse 4. You've crowned him with glory and honor. So what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you visit him. You even visit him? We saw when you were making him. What is man? You are mindful. Your mind is full of him. And you visit him. Next verse. Verse 5, please. For you have made him a little lower. King James says a little lower than the angels, but the original Hebrew in which the Old Testament was written actually said, you made him a little lower than the Elohim. Elohim, that's God himself. You just made him a little lower than you. A little lower. And for you to know the power that God gave Adam, God actually gave him the responsibility to name every creature, every animal. God brought the animals to him. Adam named them. Whatever name he called them, they still bear till today. Say amen. So much honor. So much glory, so much power, so much power. I believe the devil couldn't look that guy in the face. So he went to the woman. Did God really say that if you eat of the fruit, you're going to die? You know, did he really say that? Adam was crowned with glory and honor. So much glory, so much honor before the fall. And the Bible makes it clear that Adam was not deceived. The woman was deceived. Adam was not deceived. So he did what he did because he loved his wife and wanted to play along with his wife and chose rather to commit treason and disobeyed God. And the moment he did that, chaos began to happen. His eyes of understanding became darkened. Adam functioned literally like God in the earth. He was the manager of the earth. He was the governor. He now handed that power over to Satan. The moment he disobeyed God by committing that treason, Satan became the God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. On the screen, quickly. You need to get this as we move on. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4. Quickly, please. For if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Who are those that are lost? In whom the God of this world, small letter G, the God of this world, who do you think that is referring to? Come on, talk to me, church. That's Satan. He used to be Adam. But then it's now Satan. So Satan took his place and became the God of this world. That's why there's so much wahala in this world. So much chaos in this world. You can enjoy your peace for 1 week. By the following week, somebody rocks your boat somewhere. It might not be directly your own boat. It might be the boat of your brother or your sister. Somebody connected to you. So much chaos. Because Satan is running the affairs of this world. He's running this world system. Somebody sleeps and wakes up. Given back to as a boy. And then at the age of 16 says, well, I have the feelings like I'm a girl. Nations are now sitting down to make rules and regulations. And they're saying, look, I think we need to listen to these young people. Indeed, sexes cannot just be male and female. So in some countries now, they have, if you want to indicate your sex, they have options, I'm told, of up to 16 options. Either you are male or female or bi or Q or straight. Oh my God. Confusion. We all know now. In all honesty, we all know. When you're in the bathroom, you know who you are. If you forgot on the street. Abi, maybe you forgot on campus, but in the bathroom, when it is only you and your God, only you and yourself and yourself, you know. You know whether you are male or female. Some say they are trans. Trans amusement park. I mean, confusion. Talk about confusion. Satan is a confusionist. That guy, very bad. You will tell somebody, that guy doesn't like you. Kill him. If he doesn't like me, Shebi is his business. Let him not like me. I like me. No, if somebody does not like you, kill him. He entered Cain. Cain killed his brother. His brother that did not offend him. Confusion. Since Adam fell like this, confusion started. Cain and Abel were their children. The Bible never records that Cain and Abel exchanged, you know, bad words or derogatory remarks. They didn't fight. It wasn't like they were fighting and then all of a sudden he brought a knife and then killed his brother. No! They were in the garden, they were in the field, they were talking, but Satan had entered him. Confusion. In the household of David the king, one of his sons fell in love with his own half-sister. Same father. There are many virgins in town. As a prince, you can go and pick one fine babe. Say, no, my own sister, go. I like the shape. The shape. The shape of your sister. And do you know that in some families is happening today? Incest, sex in the family. One of my former students back in the day, she said she traveled to Lagos to stay with her cousins. And in the dead of the night, she was shocked. She had people moaning in the room. So she couldn't sleep. The lights were out. She said maybe she was dreaming. And then she now tried to listen very well. Some of them were sleeping on the, you know, all these bunker beds. And she could hear people actually having sex. And she tried to open her eyes and say, no, I'm in my cousin's room. And there is no stranger in this house. It's the girls and the guys. Four of them. One on one. When she could not bear it anymore, she shouted, she screamed, said their father ran into the room, turned on the light. And by the time the father ran into the room and turned on the light, everybody was at their best behavior. The boys had hidden. And the girls helped them to hide well. When a woman wants to hide you, she can hide you well. You don't know about Jael? Were you at her place last year? When she was going to finish the guy, she helped him. Oh yeah, come and hide. And then covered him and gave him butter and milk. He was drinking. When the father left, she said they continued. And in the morning, they said, are you mad? What's the big deal? She said one thing she noticed was that the girls, after having their bath in the bathroom, while they were dressing up, the brothers would be there in the room. They'll be gisting. The girls would be wearing their underwear in the presence of their brothers. She wanted to stay for like a month. She didn't stay more than 3 days because it was coming to her turn. Somebody was already rubbing hand on her body. And how would she explain this to her uncle and the wife? When she came back to Ibadan, I was a teacher then. She came to explain to me. I said, why don't you tell your mom? I said, I can't tell my mom. I don't know how to tell my mom. I don't even know if I'm safe. What a family. Four children. And the four of them, siblings, sleeping. Confusion. That's the work of Satan. Satan. To hell with that guy. How about parents sleeping, violating their own children? How about especially fathers sleeping with their own daughters? A father impregnated his own daughter in this town. In this town. We hear them on radio every time. Egbenusi Mike. They bring them there. What a shame. She looks like the mother. I miss the mother. That's confusion. All of that confusion started when Adam fell, because the eyes of his understanding became darkened. When you see a man sleeping with his daughter, his eyes of understanding are not darkened. They are completely gone. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? When a pastor begins to sleep with a church member, it usually in some places happens between the pastor and the choir people. Huh? Now, they can be speaking in tongues. They may be quoting scriptures. But I can tell you, in that area, the eyes of their understanding are darkened. They can explain it away and call it grace. A pastor said to one of his church members in London who went to London to do a master's, and he was in London for ministration to preach. The kind of spirit that people carry sometimes. I'm very weary to invite somebody to come and preach because we don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what you're doing. I'm not moved by charisma on the screen, on TV or social media. Oh, pastor, invite that man. He can preach. He can preach. How does he live? How does he live his life? He rented a hotel that has a penthouse in London. He was in that penthouse for 2 weeks. And invited this girl over. The girl came, oh, you know, my father-in-law, my papa, oh, you know, hugged her and everything. How you doing? The girl later opened up because she went viral. The girl said the first thing that shocked her was the alcohol that the man was drinking, the wine, red wine. She was looking at the red wine. The man said, no, come on. I will take you to another level of grace that you have never experienced before. Another level of grace. Before you know it, the girl said they were under the sheets. And she would go to her hostel, go to her school where she was having her master's, and she would come back again to service her pastor. And they were under the sheet, warming the bed for about 1 week. Then they both came back to Nigeria, and the man would stand on the altar and be preaching, and the girl was looking at him and saying, but we know what we are doing. Until she almost ran crazy and then opened up. My friend, you may know all the epistles of Paul the Apostle, all the Pauline epistles. If you are living in sexual sin, your eyes of understanding are darkened like that of Adam. What happened to Adam has happened to you. And that's why we all need to pray this prayer. Whether you're, even if you're not committing sexual sin, there are many things we need to know about our lives. Many things we need to know about tomorrow. Many things we need to know about God's plan. God, what is your plan? Because things are happening sometimes and we're wondering, God, is this your plan? Could this be your plan? Is somebody getting what I'm saying this morning? I mean, things happen in our families and we say, God, we didn't bargain for this. Go to a corner. Lord, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Let it be enlightened. Why? So that I may know what the hope of your calling and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us who do believe according to the working of your mighty power. My friends, the same mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, the Bible says that same power God has released towards us who believe. The same mighty power that brought Jesus Christ from the dead and brought him back to life is in you right now, is in me right now. Can I have an amen? The power that raised Jesus from the dead, can that power take care of your ulcer? Hello? Can that power open a blind eye? Can that power pay your bills? If he could raise Jesus from the dead. All the demons of hell gathered around him. They thought that was all. He won't be able to come out. God allowed them to gather. One power released into him. But that power, the Bible describes as exceeding greatness of his power. Kai, if you read your books well, can that power get you admission? If you're already in school, can it help you achieve a distinction? Can that power make you smarter than your classmates? Come on, talk to me, church. The challenge is that we don't know what we carry. So we live like the rest of the world. They know not. Neither do they understand. So they walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. He said, but you shall die like men and fall like the princes. Come on, we're not going to die like men. That's Psalm 82 I just quoted from verse 5. We are not ordinary people. You can't carry God's power and still be ordinary. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want to leave this thought with you. Go and chew on it. Chew on it every day. God, your word says I have power. I thought I didn't have any power, but your word says I have power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. Do you know that if a child is having convulsion in your house, you don't need to call Pastor Fred? Do you know that the same power in Pastor Fred is in you? Do you know that the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead is in you? And you can put your hands on that child, pray for the child, and the child will be normal. Do you know? We hear some of these testimonies online. How about us? But we don't know. And what you don't know, you don't know. That's why we must know. Some of you are putting up with things you are not supposed to put up with. Harassment that you are supposed to harass. You know, the demons just come in the night when I'm sleeping and they make me afraid. And they just disturb my room, and I'm afraid, and they press me down. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You have the power of God in you. Suicidal thoughts are coming to your head. Use the power of God against suicidal thoughts. Are you getting what I'm saying? Use the power of God. Release that power against depression. Satan will tell you every day. He will never encourage you. He will tell you, look, you are depressed. You have a bad day. It's a very sad day. You know, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You get up and open your mouth and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will, as an act of my will, I will rejoice and be glad in it, because this is going to be one of the best days of my life. Can I have an amen? That's how you silence him. Don't keep quiet and agree with Satan. Yeah, maybe I'm going to have a bad day. That's why I don't like Tuesday morning. Every Tuesday morning like this. Oh, come on. Come on, come on. Don't take what is not yours. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? There is power in you. And he went on with that prayer to say, far above all principality and power. You are not anywhere near the devil. You are far above him, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And God has put all things, how many things? All things where? Under his feet. Under his feet. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. So even if you are a toe in the body of Christ, you are still far above the devil. Are you getting what I'm saying? Maybe you are not the hand. Maybe you are not, he is the head, right? Maybe you are not the neck. You are not in the chest region. You are the toe. The least member of the body of Christ is far above Satan. Are you getting what I'm saying? With this kind of knowledge, you should not be afraid of witches and wizards. You actually tell them to shut up. You know, some of them parade themselves in your class, in your department. They let you know. I'm a witch. No. Don't mess with me. They show you somehow. They may not verbally say I'm a witch, but they let you know that they have some kind of spiritual power. And you let them know that you are a child of the Most High God. If you ever talk again where I am, if you ever boast about the power of the devil, I will cut your wings. In fact, from tonight, you stop flying. University of Ibadan here. One of our sisters, an usher. May you know who you are in Christ. It's not about your position in church. Ushers don't normally come to the pulpit. They meet with the people. This lady, I'm mentoring her now, and I'm glad to see what God is doing in her life. I think we finished Bible study that night in UI. I was still pastoring them before I handed over to a student to pastor. And she went to a hostel, one of the hostels in UI. And a girl came to their room, and she was bragging. For some reason, their paths crossed. The girl was not staying in that room. She only came to see her friend in the room. And you know, when people have demonic powers, they want to announce their presence. Now, we run this town. So she said something like, do you know who I am? To our sister, our usher. And the usher said to her, do you know who I am? Because the greater one is on the inside of me. Greater, that was what she said. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in you. Before she said, in the name of Jesus, this girl started demonstrating and manifesting. In the hostel Daru, confusion everywhere. Then the next thing, she fell on the floor and started moving like a snake. On the floor, like a snake. Snake movement in the night. I said, what happened to the other occupants of the room? She said they ran with their head out. They all ran away, but she stayed there. And then she began to speak in tongues, taking authority over that devil. I'm not telling you a story far away. She's in ICC now. She was my girl here. She was an usher here. She was an usher in UI. Imagine if she didn't know who she carried. I love Christians that are serious. Midem is a very serious girl. A serious Christian. Every time the church is open, I can count on her that she'll be there. I like people that are consistent. Consistent with their Christianity. Some of you have to beg you to come to Bible study. She learned what she learned at Bible study, and she put it to practice. She delivered that girl. By the time the girl came back to her senses, she was wondering, what happened to me? News had gone all over the hostel. How can you be comfortable with the devil? When you are somewhere, you should let them know a child of God is here. Some of the people you mingle with are not normal. They're not ordinary. And let me tell you, you are not also ordinary. I don't want to say you are not normal.
Are you getting what I'm saying? This power is on the inside. We are not to be praying, Jesu, Mabo, Jesu, Mabo, Alagbara, Mabo, Jesu, Mabo, Alagbara, Mabo, Jesu, Mabo, Oti wanuwa. Is in you already? Are you with me, church? Release him. One of the ways you release him is to evangelize. When you go out and evangelize, you tell somebody about Jesus, you have an opportunity to pray. You have an opportunity to pray for them, pray with them, and release the power. And as they went, the Lord walking with them with signs and wonders following. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is the introduction of my message. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. The opening of the eye of the believer should be a daily prayer. Please pray this daily. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. Let me know who I am. Huh? Without the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, we will not know God's plan for our lives. I am telling you, we won't know what provisions that God has made for the fulfillment of those plans, and we will not know how to appropriate them. I repeat that. Without the opening of the eyes of our understanding, we will not know God's plan for our lives. We won't know what provisions He has made for the fulfillment of those plans and how to appropriate them. A believer whose eyes are not enlightened will gamble through life. Everybody's doing this business, you run there. Everybody's doing that business. They say, pure water. Oh, people are making money from pure water. Everybody runs to pure water. Brrr. Graphics design. Everybody runs there. Brrr. Data analytics. Everybody runs there. Brrr. That's what Nigerians love to do. Have you asked God, Lord, what's your plan for me? What do you have for me? What do you want me to do? Open the eyes of my understanding. There is something you are caught out for. Something you do well. Designed for you, and you are meant to excel in that field. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ecclesiastes 10:15 says, the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them because they know not how to go to the city. They don't know how to go to the city. A believer whose eyes are not open will walk on in darkness. They know not. Neither do they understand. Psalm 82, verses 5 to 7. Neither do they understand. So they walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are out of course, in disorder, disarray. All the foundations of the earth are in confusion. Because the people who are supposed to know, don't know. They are ignorant. So they walk on in darkness. What is darkness? Confusion. What's confusion? I don't know what to do. Now, Satan is the chief of darkness. He's the chief, the high chief of darkness. In fact, he's the king of darkness. But he never presents himself as darkness. And he never presents his doctrines as darkness. So the person whose eyes are not enlightened by the Holy Spirit cannot discern which one is the true light. I've shown you that scripture before. 2 Corinthians 11:14. If I ask you now, God is light. Is that right, everybody? Come on, talk to me. God is light. Is that right? What is Satan? You will say darkness. You are right by saying so, but you are also not right. You are right because indeed is darkness. But anytime he presents himself, he never presents himself as darkness. He presents himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So the believer that cannot discern is confused. God is light. Yes, he can see one light. Satan is darkness. No, he sees another light. Ah. So what's the difference between this light and this light? One light tells you, you partner with God in the area of your finances by paying tithe. Another light says, no, tithing is of the Old Testament. You don't need to tithe anymore. One light tells you sanctification is still God's will till tomorrow. Your sanctification is still the will of God. It's written in the scriptures. I'll show you if I get there today. To keep your body pure. Ladies, keep your body pure. Guys, it's still the will of God forever. The will of God does not change per dispensation. You know, because this is Gen Z, you can fornicate. It's not really fornication. It's lovemaking. You can make love or love make. I understand. I know that your generation is not easy because you see a lot of pornographic materials on the internet, which is not your fault. You know, if you when the weather is cold and it's the weather for two, and the two of you that love each other commit fornication, I will understand. No, never. God has his standard already. He has given us his word. Listen to me, young people. The word of God is the standard of God. He has given us his word already. If you love yourself, align with the word of God and obey what the word says. If you don't love yourself, walk away from the word of God and do what you like. One thing is certain. If you stray from the word, you have the consequences. If you obey the word, you have the consequences as well, the blessings. God does not change his standard for any generation. Is that clear? Please understand that. People will come, different teachers, to explain the word of God. Don't let them explain your destiny away. Any gospel that makes you comfortable in sin is not of God. Look at the songs we took this morning. They were not really all the sweaty, the songs that make you sweat. Just singing holy, most of them. Those songs were connecting our hearts to Jesus. There are other songs that will connect your heart to this world. So you choose. When we come to church, church is not primarily for business success. Yes, we want to do business and want to succeed. But when we come to church, we actually come to meet with God. So every activity in church should lead us to linking up with God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Including our songs. Do you know there are certain songs that prostitutes are comfortable playing? They play them in clubs now. They are called Christian songs, but they are playing them in nightclubs. Because it's gedu, the rhythm, the beat. But you also know that there are certain Christian songs that will never flow in any club. Our lead pastor stopped some songs years ago, because there was a wedding in this hall and some top military officers attended that wedding and big shots in the society. A lady was in our choir then, in the adult church, but the adult church was here. I think she even led a special number. During the wedding service, you know, it was a wedding, so everybody would come for a wedding. When they were done, and pastor preached like house on fire. He preached. Those big people, the word was entering their heart like this. One of them, after service, said, excuse me, sir. Pastor, excuse me, sir. I would like to see you. He said, those things you said really touched me. Is that the way you normally say it every week? He said, yes. This is how we preach the word of God here. He said, there's a girl in your choir who described her. She's my girlfriend, though. And I'm a married man. In fact, one of the reasons I like her is that when I'm doing the do with her, she'll be singing. Yes. You know how embarrassing that can be for a pastor. All my girls, they are consecrated to God. And I said, no, sir, this one, no. When I'm inside the action, she will be singing. And there are some songs that you can sing. That was when pastor said, in this church, never again. All the songs that say, oh, me, look, yeah, yeah. There are songs that can easily be corrupted. Easily. And so you wonder, where did they come from in the first place? Where did the inspiration come from? Can you be having illicit sex with someone and because you are in the choir and then you be singing, I just want to be where you are. Unless the devil lives inside you.
We were coming to church this morning and we're listening to a song from Dunsin Oyekan. And my wife was saying, can anybody use this one in those kind of places? When you hear fire, eh? Or the glory, like all the songs we sang this morning. All the nations cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. How can you be with a boyfriend and be singing? Even if you are in your boyfriend's room and you begin to sing that song, or he begins to sing, the appetite for sin will die. Unless you are the personal assistant to Lucifer. A song can make you change your mind. The Holy Spirit can convict you with a song. We need to be careful. Music is very powerful. One of the reasons it's so powerful is that it wasn't made here. It was made in heaven. So even if you don't like the song, you don't like the lyrics, before you know it, you are shaking your head. You are shaking your head to the beat. Satan presents himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. I beg you, all of you that are still in school, young people, and those of you that are no longer in school, please make it to Bible study. Topics like this, we should consider. We should sit down and consider in depth. I want to do a lot of the epistles this year by the grace of God. A lot of teaching on the epistles. They teach us how to comport ourselves as believers. We're in a corrupt world. Listen, church, you are precious to God, but this world is trying to corrupt you. It's trying to corrupt me. And that's why you should pray for your pastor too. Pray for me, oh. I'm not a strong man. Pastor is very strong. No, I'm not a strong man. Pray for me. Paul the Apostle said, brethren, pray for us. So that we don't do things that would break the hearts of many, destroy the destinies of many, and affect the salvation of many. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's important that you pray for your pastors. Very important. Satan presents himself as an angel of light. He will never. You see, that's why when you watch all the Nollywood, what do you call those things? You know, you see Satan is in red and black. Red and black. You can easily tell, oh, that's Satan. And then he has a horn on his head. In the corporate world today, when you see Satan, the guy is handsome. I'm telling you, he's fully decked up and he's smelling nice. He's wearing one of the most expensive perfumes like Chupa and Duport. The kind of perfumes that you only find in Italy. That's what he's wearing. He's driving a very nice car. He's not wearing red and black. I went to Ife for somebody's coronation some years ago. And I was going to anchor the reception. So we're part of the coronation service and all. And then they got to a point, you know, of course, I stepped back and I was praying the Holy Ghost. I didn't follow them where they entered. I saw a man dressed in red and black. And they put something like a horn on his head. And he was parading himself like, actually somebody called him a shoe, called him Satan. And yeah, he was happy. Like to be. I looked at the guy and said, man, you are poor. You're really poor. Satan is not this broke. I mean, it's not like Satan has money, but he's a thief. John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So what he has stolen, that thing has made him rich. You are broke. Satan will never appear like this. I looked at the sandal the guy was wearing. Torn. My friend, 2 Corinthians 11:14, don't you ever forget it. Be careful when people bring propositions to you, proposals, and they tell you these very lofty ideas. If you put your money there, you know you're going to make a lot of money. You're going to have returns. Sibe. You're going to have a lot of returns. In no time, you're really going to make a whole lot. You're going to, hey. You didn't learn from Amster, right? Some of you didn't learn. And then you put your money in Sibe, right? Right? And it looks good. It looks okay. You're not harming anybody.
My friends, the Bible makes it clear that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So the confusion of the believer today is to be able to discern between the true light and the fake light. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Satan says, I transform myself into an angel of light. So I look like Jesus. The same with the doctrines. Are you aware that there are doctrines of devils? Paul warned Timothy. I'm going to take it up from here the next time I'm here preaching. This is why a believer may hold on to an error for a very long time. And he will think and believe is holding on to the truth. 1 Timothy 4:1. As I close. 1 Timothy 4:1. Quickly. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, everybody, let's read this together. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And it's happening right now. Are you getting what I'm saying? So sometimes church is full. Sometimes church is half. Sometimes it's three-quarter. Because not many people are standing in the faith. People want quick fixes. Name it and grab it. If it's not happening like right now, nobody wants to be part of it. Go to many churches during the week. Go and see midweek service. Pitiful attendance. But if they say there's a prayer meeting every Monday morning, there is a miracle. You're going to get a miracle. Oh my God, the place is filled up. People are looking for the miracles of God. Nobody's seeking the God of the miracles. It's not bad to say, God, I need a miracle. I need a miracle in my life. You need a miracle. We all need miracles. Are you getting what I'm saying? God has no offense. He takes no offense at giving us miracles. But he wants us to seek him. Seek his face, not his hands. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Those were the heart cries of David. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, when the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Now, what else are they going to do? Let's read together. Make it louder. Make it louder. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are doctrines of devils. How do I know the doctrines of the Holy Spirit apart from the doctrines of devils? Do you know the difference? Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. People of God, as I close, things are happening in this world, and especially in the body of Christ. Deep things, very deep things, some that I cannot even say on camera. Deep things are happening. Be careful where you put your head and they lay hands on you. There is something called the law of contact and transmission. Paul said the gift of God came into Timothy. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, and he was talking to him from verse 6. Reminding Timothy, who was living in fear, that he should remember that there was something in him that came into him through the laying on of his hands. Go there quickly, please. Wherefore, I put the remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. I want to remind you, he said, that you stir up the gift of God, the Holy Ghost, which is in you. How did it get into him? By putting on of my hands. It is called the law of contact and transmission. It is what I carry when I put my hands on you that I can, when I contact you, I can transmit into you. Laying on of hands. Through laying on of hands. That's why in some ministries, when the pastors under the GO, when the minister, you think it's the GO ministering. Is the law of contact and transmission. The same spirit distributed in everybody. Powerful. Men of integrity. And in the coven of devils too, the same thing. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. There are doctrines of devils. There are people who are sold out to Satan, but they appear like ministers of our God.
I've shared my own experience with you time and time again, but I've not shared the full experience. When the time comes, I will. Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? From the next time I'm preaching, what am I saying next time? Don't worry. But I'll be here, don't worry. Now, you all have to be in church next Sunday. Amen? And you have to bring a friend. Can I have an amen? Amen. Including all the people that didn't come today. We filled up this hall, just a few seats last week. Now, we have a lot of chairs today that people didn't come to church. I mean, because the weather was cold. Come on now. When are you going to grow up spiritually? So those people that didn't come, make sure you reach out to them and then bring them next Sunday. We're going to have a powerful minister to us. Actually, I'll be at the NYSC camp in Isenyi to minister. I have an invitation to come. But when I return, this is what I want to teach you. I want to continue this series. Why is spiritual enlightenment important? Why is it important that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened? Why? And the Lord gave me 7 points that I'm going to share with you. 7 piping hot points. Why your eyes of understanding must be enlightened. Have you been blessed today? Do you really desire that God will enlighten your eyes of understanding? Before I even tell you why, can you already see some benefits of having enlightenment? When you walk in the dark room, in the night, anything can happen. In this hall, if you come back here at 9 p.m. and there is no light, you know you can get injured. You know that? You can hit your head against the pillar. You can stumble on the chairs and fall. But the moment there is light, will you stumble? We live in a world that is like a jungle. This world is like a jungle. And there are many wild animals. There are predators. They are looking for their prey. Even the devil, their chief, walks about like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But he is roaring about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And in the mighty name of Jesus, he won't be able to devour you. Can I get a better amen to that? So we need light. We need light so that we can see. Light enables you to see. The moment you see where the chairs are, you don't stumble on them. You see where the pillars are, you don't walk into them. We need light so that we can see. We need light so that we can see. If there are areas in your life where you are still confused, God, I don't know what to do with this thing. Pray this Pauline prayer. Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Please, I beg you, we prayed it this morning. Pray it every day. Pray it every day that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Pray it in the morning, the afternoon, at night, in the morning, the afternoon, at night. After praying, pray in the Holy Ghost. I am telling you, it has worked for me. It has worked for many others, for our fathers in the faith. It is going to work for you. Amen. 3 people said amen, Lord. Amen. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been blessed this morning? Glory be to God.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.